That may seem to be a strange question to you. I'm hoping it's a strange question to you. But the resurrection is extremely important. As you know, we're going through a New Testament survey, one book a Sunday. But that's not what we're going to do this morning. This morning, we're simply going to focus on a few verses in 1 Corinthians. Michael Tyler brought us 1 Corinthians a few weeks ago, and he said that the church in Corinth was struggling in a lot of areas. One thing that they were struggling with was this. There were people in Corinth that did not believe in the resurrection. Not just Christ's resurrection, but any resurrection at all. There were people that didn't believe that anyone rose from the dead. They denied the biblical fact of the resurrection. And the Apostle Paul was very concerned about that because he said, if the dead are not raised, then Christ isn't raised. If the dead are not raised, then Christ isn't raised. If the dead don't rise, then Christ Jesus did not rise from the dead. And if Christ Jesus did not rise from the dead, what does that mean? What is our situation if Christ Jesus did not rise from the dead? And more importantly, why is the resurrection important? Why is the resurrection important to Christians? Paul has the answer. Would you please open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15:12 and stand with me in honor of the Holy Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15:12. Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain. Your faith also is vain. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. Will you pray with me, please? Will you pray right now that God would help you understand this beautiful passage of Scripture? And that in understanding it, you would trust it, you would put your faith in it, and it would change your life this morning. Would you pray for the other people in this room? That God would help them to understand this passage of Scripture, and that by understanding it, their lives would be changed. Now, would you briefly pray for me that as best as I can, in this broken, unworthy vessel, that God would help me this morning, and it would be as though the Apostle Paul is the guest speaker today. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you, O God. Be glorified this morning by your truth from this pulpit into the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Verse 12. Now if Christ is preached that he has been risen from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Trinity Baptist, the resurrection of Christ is a very important doctrine. Amen? We must hold to that doctrine. Christ is risen. That is our cry. That is our shout of victory. And that is a core belief that every church that calls itself a church must believe. Amen? Christ is risen. And Paul was very upset that there were some in Corinth that did not believe the resurrection of the dead. It is extremely important because if Christ is alive, we can be assured that all of us who have faith in Christ will rise again also. 1 Thessalonians 4:14 behind me on the screen says this. Ian, do you have 1 Thessalonians 4? That should be your first one. There you go. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. Amen? 2 Corinthians 4:14, also behind me, says this, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. The fact that Christ rose from the dead proves that we also will be resurrected. Why is this so important? Why is this so important? Look at verse 13. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain. Your faith also is vain. Trinity Baptist Church, if Christ Jesus did not raise from the dead, we must face several very sobering facts. The resurrection is incredibly important. And if the resurrection is not true, we must face several sobering facts. Number one, this is in your notes. If Christ didn't raise from the dead, our preaching is empty. Our preaching is empty. You've got the Greek word vain on the back of your notes, or probably down on the bottom. The Greek word vain is kenos, and it means empty. You all know how difficult it is for something to be empty. In our society, we drive cars. And if your gas tank is truly empty, it's of absolutely no use to you, right? If it's empty, then it's empty and your car is not going anywhere. Perhaps some of you have hiked Painted Canyon, the ladder hike, some of the hikes that are around here. And maybe you took a canteen or a bottle of water. When your bottle of water is empty, it's over. An empty bottle of water is worthless. It is of no use to anyone. When I moved here in 1995, I used to play golf all the time. And I was not accustomed to this weather. And I went down to the municipal golf course and I was going to play 18 holes at 2 o'clock in the afternoon in July. And I took 2 bottles of water with me. Not enough. Once those bottles of water were empty, my golf game was also empty. It was over. It was vain. And Paul says this, if Christ has not risen from the dead, our preaching is empty. Trinity Baptist Church, make no mistake about this. If Christ has not risen from the dead, everything I say every single Sunday is meaningless. Preaching and singing on the radio is meaningless. When the living Savior is preached around the world by missionaries, if Christ has not risen from the dead, it is meaningless. Our preaching is empty if Christ is not alive. It gets worse. Look at verse 14. 1 Corinthians 15:14. If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain. Your faith also is vain. Number 2 in your notes. If Christ has not risen, your faith is empty. Your faith is empty. Same Greek word, kenos, meaning empty. Brothers and sisters, why do we put our faith in Christ? Why? John 3:16, behind me on the screen, tells the story. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We put our faith in Jesus in order to have eternal life. Amen? John 11:25, behind me on the screen, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? We put our faith in Jesus Christ to have eternal life. And if Jesus has not risen from the dead, our faith is empty. John MacArthur says this, if Christ did not raise from the dead, all believers of all ages, for all time, believed for nothing, lived for nothing, and died for nothing. What else does it mean if Christ has not risen from the dead? Look at verse 15. 1 Corinthians 15:15, moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God because we testified against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. Trinity Baptist Church, number 3 in your notes. If Christ has not risen from the dead, then the apostles are false witnesses. Do you realize that? The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are false teaching if Christ did not raise from the dead. All of Paul's letters, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation, all testify to a risen, victorious Savior. And if Christ has not risen from the dead, it's all false teaching. It gets worse. Look at verse 16. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ, verse 17, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sin. This is the most chilling portion of this entire passage. You read it correctly. Number 4 in your notes, if Christ has not raised, we are still in our sin. We are still in our sin if Jesus did not rise from the dead. We are unforgiven, unredeemed, unregenerate, unsaved. if Christ did not rise from the dead. Romans 4:25 behind me on the screen says that Jesus was delivered over for our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. That's Romans 4:25. He was delivered over for our transgression and raised for our justification. If Jesus has not risen, that means death was victorious over Christ and will defeat us as well. We stand guilty of our sin before a holy and righteous God. We have no Savior if Christ did not raise. Look at verse 18. 1 Corinthians 15:18. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. We all know what it means to lose a loved one. I remember when my father died, I was very, very upset and very sad. And there was one moment when I was walking in the neighborhood where he used to live. And I was very, very, very distraught that my father had passed away. And there was a Bible study going on in the neighborhood. And the front door was wide open. And the people inside the house were singing. And they were singing, "Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever." And I stopped and I listened to the song, and this joy and peace came over me that my father had eternal life. Trinity Baptist Church, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, my father is gone forever. And your loved ones are too. The resurrection is incredibly important, which is why Paul says in verse 19, if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. Trinity Baptist Church, make no mistake about it. If Christ has not risen from the dead, why are you here this morning? Why did you put money in the offering plate? You should have kept it. Why did you wake up early? You should have stayed in bed. Everyone else is home sleeping. Everyone else is out with their friends. Everyone else is getting ready to barbecue. Everyone else is getting work done on the house or laundry or chores and getting ready for the work day on Monday. Everyone else is relaxing. Everyone else is watching the game. Everyone else is watching the game with their friends. If Christ didn't rise from the dead, turn out the lights. Close the door. Let's all go do something else. If Christ didn't raise from the dead, we are all so incredibly foolish. We are of all men most to be pitied. But look at verse 20. Paul wanted the Corinthian church to know how important this was. And with verse 20, you can almost see him standing up and rejoicing and looking up at the heavens where he knew that Jesus was seated right now at the right hand of God the Father. And he says with verse 20, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. Trinity Baptist Church, He is risen. He is risen. What does that mean? It means that preaching is not in vain. Romans 1:16 behind me on the screen, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Why is the gospel the power of God? It is because and only because Jesus is risen. Christ has been raised from the dead. And what does that mean? It means your faith is not empty. It means you have put your faith in a risen Savior. And it means Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that true? Because Jesus is alive. You have peace with God this morning because Jesus is alive. Not only is the resurrection true, we are absolutely counting on it. Trinity Baptist Church, Christ has been raised from the dead. Therefore, the apostles and prophets are absolutely 100% true, reliable witnesses of Jesus Christ. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the true story of Jesus. Acts is the true story of the church. And all of the epistles are the true teaching of the true Savior because he's alive. You can count on this book that I have right here. Christ has risen from the dead. Therefore, we are forgiven. We are forgiven. Why is that true? Look at 1 Corinthians 15 behind me on the screen, verse 54. When this perishable will put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. That's what Jesus did. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, Christ has been raised from the dead, which means we are forgiven. Brothers and sisters, Christ has been raised from the dead, meaning what? All of our loved ones that we have buried are saved. They're saved. That's what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4, behind me on the screen. I do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. Jesus is alive. That means faith in Jesus is not in vain. We trust him for eternal life, and the resurrection means he can deliver the eternal life that we're trusting him for. And I'll prove it to you. Keep a bookmark right where you are, and let's meet the risen Christ. Revelation chapter 1. The Apostle John writes, Revelation 1:12. Revelation 1:12. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. In the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like a son of man, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet, and girded across his chest with a golden sash. His head and his hair were white like white wool, like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze when it had been made to glow in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in its strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. And he placed his right hand on me, saying, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades." Who is that? It is Jesus Christ. It is none other than Jesus Christ. He was dead, and he is alive. And not only is he alive, but he holds the keys to death and Hades. He has the authority to grant eternal life. Jesus is alive, and those of us who are united in Christ are forgiven. This is what the apostles preached in the book of Acts. This was the message in the book of Acts. Look behind me at the screen at chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 40. God raised him up on the third day and granted that he became visible, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God. That is, to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. There should be more in. And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. Amen. Look at verse 21. Go back to 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15:21. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. Trinity Baptist, Adam passed down sin to all of us. And the only cure is Jesus Christ. Sin and death came from Adam. Eternal life comes from Jesus. When Jesus Christ was here on earth, he was executed by the Romans. He was crucified. He was nailed to a cross and killed. That was God's plan. Jesus was taking the punishment for all of our sin, all the bad things we have ever thought or said or did. He was buried in a tomb, but he did not stay dead. He rose from the dead, alive and victorious, proving to everyone that he is exactly who he says he is. And this is what Jesus said in John 3:35-36. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. My question to you is this. Have you put your faith in Jesus? Have you truly put your faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins? You trust him for eternal life. And I promise you that if you trust Jesus for eternal life, he will deliver. He will deliver. And we know that by how Paul ends this beautiful chapter. Turn with me to the end of 1 Corinthians 15 as we close this morning. Now I say this, brethren. This is verse 50. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, Trinity Baptist Church, godly husband, godly wife, godly mother, godly father, Christian employee, elder, deacon, Sunday school teacher, servant of Christ, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the risen, victorious Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Heavenly Father, it is such an awesome thought to picture you seated on a throne and your beautiful risen Son seated at your right. We know from Scripture that that is where he is. And it brings us overwhelming joy to know that he is there. And that nothing can separate us from his love. And that whom you foreknew, you also predestined, conformed to the image of your Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom you predestined, you also called. And whom you called, you also justified. And whom you justified, you also glorified. If God be for us, who can be against us? We rejoice in our risen Savior today. And we rejoice that because he is alive, it means victory over sin and victory over death. In his glorious name we pray. Amen.